We're holding on Chavtes Amud Aleph, a little bit past the, actually about two thirds of the way down the, about two thirds of the way down the Amud line begins Kasavar. We're in the middle of discussing, the Mishnah had said that a father has the ability to make his son, to make his young son a Nazir by saying you are a Nazir, or by telling him that he should say I'm a Nazir, whatever, and that works, and the son is considered a full-fledged Nazir until he becomes a Gadol, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara. Once he develops Shtei Sairus, then he's then the father no longer has that ability. And we said, on the other hand, even during that time, if the son or the one of the relatives, there's a discussion among Achronim just how close these relatives have to be. But anyway, if the son or one of the relatives protests by shaving his hair or by doing other things that demonstrate that they don't want the Nazirus, then the Nazirus goes away. It's comparable to the case of a child who's made a ger, where we know that when the child becomes 13 or 12 for a girl, then they have a right to be moicha. So here it's the same kind of thing. If the child or the relatives are moicha, if the child is moicha or the relatives are moicha on their behalf, then the nazirus doesn't take effect. So we've been discussing what the basis for this is. How is it that a father has this ability anyway? Rabbi Yochanan had said it's a special halacha on Moshe Sinai that applies to nazirus, and Rish Lakish had said that it's in order to educate him in mitzvahs. It's part of the general mitzvah of chinuch that a father has to his son. So this is also part of chinuch. It is true, of course, that it's a bit of an unusual kind of chinuch in the sense that it's not something that the son is going to necessarily be doing again and again when he gets older. But the chinuch is basically, as the Rosh said, for precious, that he teaches the son to have this tendency to be able to hold yourself back from something for a month at a time. Anyway, so we've been going through a number of different things. If we say that it's halacha l'moshe b'sinai, then we understand certain features of the din. But if we say that it's because of the mitzvah of chinuch, then how would those be explained? And we went through one by one and explained. So now here's another one. So Bishleim l'Rav Yochanan, d'amar halacha hi b'nazir. I understand according to Rav Yochanan, who says that it's a halacha l'moshe b'sinai by a nazir. Ahochi, well, therefore, ki mitame. So now, if the boy becomes tame, maisi korban siporin v'ochel koyin melika. Then what's going to happen? Like any nazir tame, he's going to be bringing three korbanos, of which two are birds. And as usual with bird korbanos, the kohen is going to be doing malika on them. And then the chatas, the two birds are a chatas on an oila, and the kohen is going to be eating the bird one as he usually would with any chatas oif. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, fine. The whole concept that this boy is a nazir, unless there's a macha, is daraisa. It's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Therefore, the korbanos are being brought like the korbanos of any other nazir, and the usual rules that apply to the korbanos of a nazir apply. One of them being that again, that the that one of the birds is going to be a chatas, and the kohenim are going to do malika to it and eat it. Ela l'Rabbi Yosi ber Chanina. But isn't there a problem, according to Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina, in the name of Resh Lakish, doesn't it then come out that the Kohenim are eating Nevela? So in other words, because Malika is not Shchita, Malika doesn't follow the usual rules of Shchita. Shchita has to be done with a knife, Malika is done with the Kohen's fingernail, Shchita is done from the front of the neck, Malika is done from the back of the neck, so they're nothing the same. Usually eating such a bird would be if you did Malika to it would be nevela, and it would be also to eat. The Gemara elsewhere mentions, in fact, we've talked about it before, that there's a pasuk in Yechezkel that says the Kohenim are not allowed to eat nevela or trefa, and the Chachamim were wondering why Yechezkel says such a thing. We know any Yid's not allowed to eat nevela or trefa until it was explained that it means that since there's this exception for Kohenim to be able to eat nevela, what would normally be nevela, when it comes to a chatas oif, you would think that maybe in general they're allowed to eat nevela, and therefore Yechezkel comes and stresses that it's not so. Anyway, the point is, though, so according to Rabbi Yosef of Chanina, in the name of Resh Lakish, then if the whole thing is only Dirabanan, again, the Chachamim are not able to tell you to do something that the Torah says is also. It's one thing if it was Shev Val Taseh, but here it's not. Here with Pashtos, they're saying that that we do everything the way that it's normally done for the way it's normally done for a Nazir, which includes that if he becomes Tomei, the Kohenim are going to eat the Schatos. So how does that work? The answer is, that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina holds two things. Number one, he holds, like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, that a bird does not require shchita min haTorah. There's a discussion about this in Cholin. Everybody agrees, of course, that land animals need shchita. Everybody agrees that fish and locusts do not. There's a machlokas over there in Cholin whether birds require shchita min haTorah or not. So Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina will hold like the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who says that really birds don't require shchita min haTorah anyhow. So min haTorah, it's a malika would be good enough in order to eat a bird. The cholin bazer alav da'oraisa. And further, like we said yesterday, that he would also hold that the concept that if cholin are brought into the azara and shechted, or in this case, malika was done in the azara, and they weren't kodshim, then nevertheless, mid'oraisa, you're still allowed to eat them. It's only so according to him, both these things that you need shechita in the first place, and that for a bird, and that you can't eat chulin that was shechted or nimlak in the azara, both of those only dirabanan. Well, very well then, the same chachamim who said, according to him, that you need to be mechanech your son, and therefore that you can make him a nazir, are the same ones who said you can, in this case, we can go according to the dinim d'oraisa. Tosfos actually prefers the girsa that the Gemara is not bringing in Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, because where exactly do we see that that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is saying anything in this regard? We're going to have just the opposite now. We're going to bring a braisa now where Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda seems to say that the implication of something Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says is that these things are daraisa and therefore there are certain. The Gemara is going to end up working it out that we can understand him on the basis of saying that they're only drabanan, but it's still not that straightforward for the Gemara to assume it as a given that's how it's so. So the Mefarish says, okay, the Gemara knew that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds this way, but Tosfos doesn't like that. Tosfos prefers the girsa that we don't have Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda involved over here, just Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, and they explain that actually there are two Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chaninas in Shas. The usual Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is a Talmud of Rish Lakish, but you also have, on the other hand, a Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda who was a Tana, who therefore is before Rish Lakish, because Rish Lakish is one of the Uli Amiroyim, in which case, earlier in the Sugya, when we started the Sugya and we said what the basis is for the father to be making his son a Nazir, we had Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina saying in the name of Rish Lakish. So now Tosfos says it should actually be the other way around, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Rish Lakish, saying in the name of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. And the same thing over here, then we would say that now we're talking about Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, the Tana. And we're going to say that the following braisa that we're going to so the following braisa that we're going to quote is actually going to be from him rather than Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Anyway, so does he really hold that? V'hatanya Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Don't we learn in a braisa that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says? We're going to point to Tosfos. It should be Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina says. Minayin l'chata sa'ofshi ba'al asapik she'ena nechelas. How do we know that if a chatas ha'oif is brought for a suffix, then you don't, then the kohenim don't eat it? Now, you have a bunch of cases where you can bring a chatas ha'oif from suffix. One example would be if a person is not sure whether they were a zav or a zava. So they're in both a zav who's had three ra'iyas and a zava who's had a flow of blood for three or more days consecutively, they have to bring a korban. But if there's a suffix, whether it was full three times or full 3 days, then it's a chatas ha'oif ba'al suffix. Another example would be a woman who gave birth, or a woman who miscarried, and she's not sure whether it's the kind of miscarriage that would require her to bring a korban. So how do we know Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says that such a chatas ha'oif is not eaten? Talmud Loma, therefore the pasuk says, V'hazov es zoivei lazocha v'manakeva. The pasuk says a person who has a flow of ziva, a man or a woman. So makish nekeva, makish nekeva lazocha. So thereby, the Torah is making a hekesh between a woman, a zava, and a man, a zav. The comparison is ma zocha may be korban al avadai, the same way as a man when he becomes a zav brings a chatas for a case of vadai, for a case where he knows that so for the vadai would be, in other words, not involving ziva, but just So Tosfos actually discusses a couple of possibilities, what the Gemara can mean over here about Vadai, one of them being that it means plain and simple, never mind Zava, just the plain case. If a person does an Aveda, which makes him Chayav Achatas, then he brings a Chatas for it. And obviously that applies equally well to a man or a woman. In fact, you don't even really need a Hekish for that. We know that... We know that in general, when the Torah says a mitzvah and it says it only in Lashon Zachar, then it means both men and women. But the point is, in other words, now that we know that basis, that men and women both bring a korban for a vadai, now instead we can use this hekesh between a zov and a zava to teach us something else. So first, at ma zocha may be korban al avadai, just like a male brings a korban for a vadai, for any aveira that makes him chayev chatas that he did deliberately. After the kevim may be a korban al avadai, so also a woman will bring a korban for a vadai. And so far, then we know then that a woman, if she's a zava, if she's a definite zava, is going to be bringing a korban. Tosfos gives a different explanation. Another way of understanding it is we are talking about a zav and a zava, but imagine that a zav and a zava had relations. Now a zav is tome, but there's no iser on him to have relations. Practically speaking, it means that anything he touches or lies on is going to become tome. So he's going to be spreading tumah, but he's not going to. But it's not also for him. On the other hand, to have relations with a zava is an iser kodesh. So just like if that happens, then just like the man is bringing a chatas if it was b'shogeg, so she's also bringing a chatas because both of them are equally chayav in the iser kodesh. And the hekesh continues. Uma zocha maybe on a suffix. Just like now, a man brings a korban for a suffix, which again, there's two ways of understanding that. We can mean a suffix of a regular kind of iser, where he's bringing an oshem tolui, and we can also mean a suffix where he's a suffix whether he was a zov. After keva mevia al suffix, the same way a woman will bring a chatas oif for a suffix. So again, the same way, for example, as a man is not sure whether he did an aveda that makes him chayev kodesh, then he brings an oshem tolui. The same way a woman who is not sure whether she's a zava is going to be bringing a chatas for that suffix. But then we continue, and further continues the b'raisa. Just like with a man, the same species of korban, the same general type of korban that he brings for a vada, he brings for a suffix. Meaning, so if a man does something that, or man or woman for that matter, the dinim of kores and of chatas apply equally well to men and women, but they're phrased in the Torah in the masculine. But if a man does an iser that makes him chayav kores, that would have made him chayav kores for the mezid, here he did it b'shogeg, he's bringing a chatas. What kind of chatas? In almost all cases, it's a chatas of an animal. You have the rare exceptions of korban or the v'yored, but other than that, basically a chatas is of an animal. So he brings that for a vadai, and similarly, who maybe on a suffix. Similarly, he brings an animal for a suffix. In that case, he brings an oshem tolui, but an oshem tolui is also an animal. The same way, then, when a woman, we know that she brings a korban for a vadai, namely, when she's definitely a zava, she brings two birds, as a chatas and an oila. The same way, when there's a suffix, whether she was a zava or a yeledes, then she also brings the same two korbanos. So that's, in other words, the point is, the fact that the pasuk is mentioning Lazacha Velana Keva teaches us this comparison, that just like with a man, you draw a comparison between the Vadai and the Safek, which means, in other words, that you have the Vadai where he did something that's Chayav Chatas versus the Safek where he did, where he's not sure whether he did, and therefore he brings an Oshem Toloi. The same way we draw an analogy, and we say in both cases he's bringing an animal as a korban, the same way we draw an analogy between a woman when she's a Zava, or any other case where she has to bring, where she has to bring korbanos, where she brings for a Safek just as much for a Vadai. And it's the same kind. And again, Tosfos points out one way of understanding the scenario that the Braiser is mentioning is that we would say we're talking about where he's a Zav and she's a Zava, and they had relations, and therefore now they both become Chayav Achatas, because having relations with a Zava is one of those things that b'mezid is kares and b'shogeg is achatas. Now continues the Braiser with the punchline. Well, in that case, if you're going to compare, then you're going to say, you should say then, that just like a man, if he's bringing a korban for a suffix, then that korban is eaten, because if he's bringing an oshem toleri, then that korban is like any other oshem, and it gets eaten by the kohenim. You should say also that if a woman is bringing a korban for a suffix, then, namely, for example, where she's a suffix, where she was a zover or yeledus or what have you, then you would say that korban should be eaten. Or marta, but the braisa says, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, no, loy, you can't say that. Ima marta bezacher, because after all, there is a key distinction. If you were, for this, we have to say, in other words, Tosfos says, the hekesh cannot extend to that detail, that both korbanos that are for a suffix should be eaten. Because imamauta bezocher shekain isur echad. Because when it comes to a man bringing an oshem toloi, or a woman for that matter, but again we're using a man because we're drawing a comparison between a man versus a woman, as it says in the pasuk. We want to find a case that applies specifically to a woman, namely a zava or a yeledus, and therefore we're drawing an analogy with an oshem toloi. But yeah, a woman equally well could be in a scenario of bringing an oshem toloi. Anyway, but shekain isur echad. You only have one potential isser in that. You only have one potential isser, namely, what if he didn't do the Avera? So the classic case of an Oshem Toloi is, for example, a person had two pieces of meat in front of him. One's Chelev, one's Shum. And he ate one of them, and now the other one's lost, and he's not sure which one he ate. If he ate the Chelev, if he knows he ate the Chelev, he'd be bringing a Chatas. If he knows he ate the Shum, he wouldn't be doing anything. Because he has a suffix, that's why he's bringing an Oshem Toloi. Conceivably, maybe he didn't do the isser at all. Conceivably, what he ate was the shuman, and then it comes out what he's doing is cholin la'azara. And yet the Torah overrides that and says that he goes ahead and brings his korban. Toma ben akeva sheshnei yisurin. How do you compare to a woman where there were two potentially yisurin involved? And now we're going to explain what the two yisurin are. So therefore, the bottom line is that the braisa is saying that you can't fully compare. We can compare a zocher to an akeva to the extent that we say that a woman, when she's a suffix zover, suffix yeledus, or what have you, that she brings a korban, because of that suffix, but we can't extend the hekesh so far as to say that it should be eaten, because we have that key difference, because there are two potentially isurim involved. Now the Gemara analyzes, my shnei isurim, what do we mean by two isurim? Lav isur nevela b'chulin ba'azara. The pashtus, we mean, number one, that it would be nevela, because again, if she didn't have to bring the korban, then the malika that was done to the bird makes it nevela, because it wasn't a regular shita. And that it's potentially chulin ba'azara. And therefore, we're saying that because of that, there's a reason why her korban should not be eaten. So therefore, the result is she does bring the korban, because that's what the hekesh tells us. On the other hand, the korban, the chatas, is not eaten by the kohenim as it usually would, because you have two potentially surim instead of one, if in fact the korban was unnecessary. And from this is where we learn throughout Shas the concept that you have when there's a suffix, whether a woman gave birth or was a zava, or even there are cases even it applies to a man also. Again, if there's a man who's a suffix zav, was a suffix of, then again, also he also brings two birds, and again, the chatas is not eaten for the same reason.
One's a chatas, one's an oila,
so the oila is burnt on the mizbeach anyhow. And the chatas usually would be eaten by the kohen, and when it's burnt, all the suffix, then it's not.
And when you burn it,
so therefore, so you take it outside. You take it outside the Azara and burn it. You don't burn it on the Mizbeach. You leave it in general. Things that are supposed to be eaten, you can't burn on the Mizbeach. So here, you wait until usually the rule is to ubert sarasa. You have to wait until it spoils, and then they burn it. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to have a similar thing with a Nazir. A Nazir becomes Tameh, which is what the subject was of our Sugya over here. Brings two Korbanos, among which are two birds, and the same thing. If he has a Suffolk, whether he was ever a Nazir in the first place, or he's a Suffolk, whether he became Tameh, same thing. You're going to have, he's going to be bringing birds, and the Chatas is not going to be.
But also he also doesn't bring a behemoth?
He does bring a behemoth as well, but the behemoth, fine, is an Osham. So we will talk about later in the Masechta the case of a Suffolk Nazir or a Suffolk Tameh. It is going to get a little more complicated than that. You're right. But anyway, the point is that we have many cases where a person brings a Chata Sa'ofal a Suffolk, but it's not eaten. And why? Because the Braisa is saying, because there were two Isurim. Well, if the two Isurim over here are Nevela and Chulin Bazara, now, so evidently, Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda, the Tana of this Braisa, or according to Tosfos Girsa, Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina, must hold that these Isurim are Daraisa. Both the fact that the bird would have required Shchita, and instead you did Malika, and the fact that it was brought in the Azara and killed over there with Malika when it's Chulin, and then therefore it should be also to eat. So it sounds like he's saying they're both Yisur and Daraisa. So what are you telling me, Anuman Aleph, that according to Rosh Lakish's understanding, the father can make the son a Nazir because and Dirabanan because of Chinuch? So what happens if the son becomes Tomei? How are we bringing a Chatas Oif and the Kohenim are eating it? If the whole thing has been Dirabanan, how can that override Yisurim min HaTorah? And then the point is, we wanted to say that Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina holds that in Shchita Lo'if min HaTorah and that Chulin Bazara are not Daraisa, but based on this Braisa, it seems to be not so. The answer is, the Gemara answers the proof with question, Maskiflo Rav Acha Brei D'Rav Ikka, Rav Acha Brei D'Rav Ikka answers back, the Duma Mechayiv Alei Mishum D'Meschazi Kitrein Yisurin D'Rabanan. Maybe in fact the reason is that you'd be chayev because Tosfos and the Rosh take out the words mechayvi, that is, we're not really talking about anybody being mechayev, but just because the two isurim are dirabban. In other words, fine, it's not isurim daraisa. Midaraisa, yes, if this bird was brought as a korban because of a suffix, you would be able to eat it. But he's saying the fact that in practice we don't is because there are two isurim dirabanan over here. The fact that the Chachamim said that you do have to shecht birds, and the fact that the Chachamim said you can't eat chulin bazara, so therefore the result of that is that we're not eating them. But midaraisa, we would have been allowed to, just like an Oshim Tovim. So we can answer according to Rish Lakish that the Braisa is not referring to the Braisa when it's saying that you don't eat them, is talking on a Dirabanan level that you don't eat them. Well, Rish Lakish is not bothered by that because fine, he can say, okay, so the Chachamim said that the Chachamim said in this particular case, you have to be Mechanech your son, therefore you can make him a Nazir. So therefore, fine, in this case, then the Chachamim are going to waive their two Gzeiros, their two Takonis, Dirabanan, and say that this Korban can be eaten if the boy becomes Tomei, just like any other Nazir Tomei. The Kohenim are eating at that point. In other words, we're waving this issue for the Kohenim because the Chachamim wanted to make that the father should be able to make his son a Nazir. So Tosfos points out, actually, I mean, the fact is in the Braisa, we're talking about a Hekesh, we're talking about a complete Drosha. So what do you mean that we're, so if you're telling me that the Isurim, the Braisa is referring to, are Dirabanan, so where, how do those come into the picture? The fact is that you have Daraisa, you have a Hekesh, and how can a Dirabanan override that? And in fact, you have a concept, Ein Meshivin BeHekesh. Once you have a Hekesh, then you can't override it based on logic. So how is that, leaving aside even Daraisa or Dirabanan, if we have a Hekesh, how can we undo part of that Hekesh because we find Isurim?
The Hekesh again,
as it says, Lazocha v'lanakeva. So we say in the same way as a Zocha brings a korban for a suffix, so does a nakeva. So Tosfos answers, and the Rosh also discusses this, that the Hekesh is a drosha gemura in the sense that if, for example, a woman miscarried and she's not sure whether it was a miscarriage or not, that she's bringing a chatas. Without the hekesh, she wouldn't have known that in the first place. But the fact that we're saying it's not eaten is only a chumra derabanan midaraisi. You would have been able to eat it again because we would say in shchita lo'if minatorda, and that and chulin shenishchatu ba'azara is also not daraisa. Then we would say that it would be a full drosha. So therefore, that would tell us she'd be able to bring that chatas. So now, on the other hand, according to the opinion that chulin shenishchatu ba'azara is an isur daraisa, which the Gemara discusses elsewhere in Shas, and according to the opinion that a bird has to be shechted min ha-Torah, then we would say it is a full fledged drosha, and then we would say that yes, what we're saying is that we're saying is that in fact yes, the korban has to be brought and midaraisa would be eating it. So the same Torah that would be telling us that a woman brings a chata sa'if in a case of a suffix like that would also tell us that in that case the Kohenim don't eat it because of the suffix. The point is, in other words, so we could take it either way. The Braisa could be going according to the opinion that these is Surah Mardaraisa, but it could also be going according to the opinion that these things are Dirabanan and Midaraisa you would have been able to, and Midaraisa we would have been able to eat the birds. Elsewhere also Tosfos points out that the Hekesh after all teaches us not only that you're allowed to bring it ala Suffolk, but that you have to. That the have to comes in, because otherwise we don't need the Hekesh really. If we were to say that in Shchita lo'ifin ha-Torah, and we were to say that Chulin Ba'azara are not Daraisa, then with Daraisa there would be no problem with bringing a Chata Sa'if ala Safik, because so what? The Koyanim can eat it, the birds don't have to be shechted anyway, and Chulin Ba'azara are not Daraisa anyway. But without that, without the Hekesh, we wouldn't have, according to that opinion, we wouldn't have known that you have to bring a Chata Sa'if ala Safik in these kinds of cases. The Hekesh teaches us that you have to. Anyway.
And this whole thing that we want a father to be able to teach son to be
a Nazir. Yeah.
What's about that we say about being a Nazir, on the other hand, is not a good thing?
So that's what we said, that it's true that being a Nazir is not such a good thing. On the other hand, though, there was a chinuch over here in Prishus that he's teaching his son to be able to abstain from things that he should be staying away from.
Young child.
So a young child, yeah. Okay. So the point is, in other words, okay. So we've gone through every possible angle on Nazirus, and we've shown how, according to Rish Lakish, it can still be made to work, even if we say that this Nazirus exists only Drabban. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Lema Katanoi. Can we say that this is actually a Machlokas Tanoi? And sometimes, by the way, when the Gemara says Lema, sometimes it means, and in fact, it ends up that. Actually, that's going to be later. We're going to have an example later down on the Amud where the Gemara is going to say, Lema Katanoi, shall we say that something is like a Machloek, or Lema Hani Tanoi, Kahani Tanoi, and in fact, it remains that way. Many times when the Gemara says Lema Katanoi, the Gemara ends up saying that, no, not necessarily. Sometimes you have it actually stays that way. Anyway, Lema Katanoi, should we say that this Machloekas, Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish, is actually a Machloekas Tanoim from which we can derive from that machlokas tanoim whether the nizirus of a boy is whether his father puts on him is daraisa or drabon. A braisa says ad mosay madris bnei benozir, up until what age is the father able to make his son a nozir? Ad shiyavi shtei sairus divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says until the boy develops shtei sairus, which then he becomes a gadol. And that has to be he's at least 13, and then he develops shtei sairus. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, ad sheyagia la'onas nedarim. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, in earlier time, once the boy reaches onas nedarim, the time in his life when he's able to make nedarim, and they would be chal, namely during his 13th year. We learned about this in nedarim, that once a boy is 12 or a girl is 11, they enter what's called onas nedarim. At that point, if they make a neder, we ask them, do you know what a neder is? Do you know to whom a neder is addressed? And if they say, yes, we know that it's to Hashem, then their neder is chal.
That's the year before
Barabbas Mitzvah, respectively. So, and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that once that point is reached, then the father can't be madir the son as a nazir anymore.
The son has to do it himself.
Then that's right. So now my love tanoi. So shouldn't we assume then that the underlying machloikas between Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is about that point? The Rebbe saw a halacha he ben nazir. Rebbe holds halacha l'mosh b'sinai. So therefore, the afagav de higia l'onas nedarim. So even though the boy has reached onas nedarim, still the father has the ability to madrulei v'ozil. The father still has the ability to make him a nazir. Ad demaisi shtei sairus until he reaches shtei sairus. Rebbe Yosef ben Yehuda, the amach yagia l'onas nedarim. Whereas Rebbe Yosef ben Yehuda, who would say that until he reaches onas nedarim, sover he would hold kedei l'chanchem b'mitzvus. That the only reason for it is to educate him in mitzvus. But kiven the nafik mirushosei, and therefore Rebbe Yosef ben Yehuda would say, once the son is out of the father's rishus relative to nedarim, when he has the ability to make his own nedarim, then the father is no longer chayev to be mechanechim in that. In other words, even though he's not bar mitzvah yet, the father still has a chiyuv of chinuch, but not as far as things that the boy can already do on his own, namely nedarim. So then in that case, it would come out, the machlokas is exactly the same as the machlokas of Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish.
The Shtei Sairus has a connection to what?
Shtei Sairus makes him a gadol. Then he becomes a gadol for all purposes. So if a boy develops Shtei Sairus before he's 13, nothing happens. Those are, the Gemara elsewhere calls them shumar. It's considered like a mole that grows hair. It's not considered the normal simonim of gadolus. Only if he's 13 and then develops Shtei Sairus. Most of the time, by the way, we say when a boy turns 13 or a girl turns 12, most of the time we don't need to actually physically examine them. We're going to have an example further down on the onward where you do, but in things that are daraisa, you need to. We learned in Yevamos, for example, for Yibum, for Chalitza, for example, you need to actually do a physical examination. You can't rely on the chazaka that most children that age have Shtei Sairus. When it comes to things derabanan, we can, which is how, for example, a 13-year-old can daven by the Omer or lead benching or whatever, because those things only derabanan, or count for a minion or whatever. Yeah. Anyways.
By
12, same idea.
Also 12, not before 12.
Not before 12, also not. You have the possibility that we learned about in Yevamos. You have bonim, harein, kesimonim, that if a girl gives birth, then that can be considered like a simonim of gadlus. Maybe that works even before she's 12, although we said in general, a girl before 12 is not even going to be able to carry a pregnancy successfully to term. But anyway, yeah. But basically the simonim of gadlus of Shtei Sairus only have effect after 13 or 12 respectively.
Size is one case over here.
Yeah. Anyway, so now Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda would say that once the boy is old enough to be an ernest nedarim, then already the father, so now the boy already has the ability to make a neder of nezirus on his own. So therefore now the father is not mechuyev to do that. Right now, Tosfos points out, the Gemara is assuming that both Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda would hold that the concept of mufla samoch l'ish is only derabanan, that deraisa boys nedarim would be nedarim only from when he's 13 and develops Shtei Sairus, and midrabanan from when he's 12 is nedarim would be chal. So anyway, so if we understand it like that, then it's the same machlok as Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish. The Gemara answers Amri, the Bnei HaYeshiva said Loi, not necessarily. The Kula Alma Halacha Ibn Nazir, both Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda might hold that it's Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai, that a father can make a son a Nazir. The Machloikas can be, what is the nature of this concept of Mufla Somoch L'Ish? Where does it come from? Rebbe Sova Mufla Somoch L'Ish Midrabanan. Rebbe holds that this whole concept is only Dirabanan. So the fact that according to Rebbe, the father has the ability to make a son a nazir on a daraisa level, because again, we're saying they both hold that it's halacha l'moshe b'sinai, so that would be dachya d'rabbanan, and it would override the din d'rabbanan. The fact that we say that d'rabbanan, a boy has the ability to make his own nedarim from when he's 12 years old, but on the other hand, daraisa, the father has the ability to make him a nazir until he's 13. Therefore, Rebbe says that takes precedence, and therefore the father still has the ability to do that till he turns 13. And develop Shtei Sairus. Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda sava mufla samoch leish daraisa. Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda will hold the concept of mufla samoch leish is daraisa. So therefore, you have two daraisas, one against the other. So then, in that case, then the whole halacha l'moshe b'sinai that the father has the ability to make a son a nazir would only be until onas nedarim, only until mufla samoch leish.
So one holds muflah, one
so one holds. So they both hold that. They both hold. So that's the thing. So therefore, Rebbe holds the deadline is shtei sairus, because according to him, we ignore muflah because that's only dirabanan. According to Rebbe Yosi, Rebbe holds that the deadline is muflah because at that point, then the din daraisa that the son can make his own nedarim kicks in. So we don't have to say that they're arguing on whether the father making the son a nazir is daraisa or dirabanan. Or another way of understanding the machloikas, so that again, it's not the same machloikas of Rabbi Yechanan or Shlokish. And of course, we would prefer to do that, like we've talked about before. When you want to ask Lema Katanoi many times, the unspoken question is, well, if the Tanoim already argued on the exact same point, why are the Amiroi repeating that same argument over again? So if we can show it's a different machloikas, then Rabbi Yechanan or Shlokish have good reason to be doing their own argument. So Viboisema, the Kula Alma. On the other hand, we could say that both Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda hold that the whole concept that a father makes a son a nazir is only in order to be mechanechem. So therefore, it's only derabanan. So now we would say that also they both hold that muflah samoch leish, the concept that a boy's nedarim from 12 years old can be chal if he knows what a neder is. Both of them would agree that that's derabanan, but Rebbe holds, given that both of them are dirabanan, the father's chiyuv to be mechanech his son applies even when he's mufla samoch leish, even though at that point the boy has the right to make his own nedarim, but nevertheless the father still has during that year the right instead to make his son a nazir. And again, unless the son protests, then the nazirus will be chal. Whereas Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, who says you only have until Onus Nedarim, he's going to say the Chachamim, when they came up with the concept of Chinuch, they did not say that it should override Mufla Samoch Leish. In other words, that the concept that the father is Machanech is only until the son has the ability to start doing these mitzvahs on his own. Once there comes a point when he can do the mitzvah and it can be Chal on his own, namely that he can make the nedarim and they'll stick. Then we would say that the father's chiyuv to be mechanechem is over, and now we would say that the son either independently becomes a nazir or doesn't at all. Tosfos also points out, if we're going to say in this last answer that everybody agrees that the whole concept that a son becomes a nazir because of his father making him a nazir is only derabanan, then to go back to the question before about eating the chatas ha'oif, if the son becomes tameh, the answer would be that yes, the koyanim are not going to be able to eat the korban like any chatas ha'oif that comes ala sopik. Because derabanan, we're going to say that it would still be osur.
If it happens like his father gave him a 30-day nazirus, and he 15 days down, he develops stay sairus, and then he says, "I'm."
So that's the thing. So once Tosfos actually mentioned on the Mishnah, once he develops stay sairus, then that's it. The fact that the father made him a nazir, it's the equivalent, for example, of the father of the husband being mefer for his wife or something. That's it. The nazirus goes away unless the son himself wants to reaccept it.
But if he doesn't reaccept it,
then that's it. It's as if there was a nazirus that got interrupted by a farah. Well, it doesn't matter whether Megha's guy is or
bring the
no. Either way, he's not going to bring the korbanos. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Then we're going to have the examples that we said in the Mishnah that in that case, if you have Morris stumos versus Morris mepurashos versus animals, and you're going to have all the various dinim that apply. Same thing as would happen if the son was moicha when he was still a cotton. The same thing would apply also if he developed shtei sairus. Yeah, that's what we said in the Mishnah, that if he is moicha as a cotton, or the relative, we said the relatives also can be moicha on his behalf. Yeah. That depends what the age of the kid is. I mean, if the kid is three, his machar is not going to mean much. If the kid is 10 and his moicha, then it means something.
Oh, so we go according to
what he can understand, yeah.
It's either
or not. No. So that's what we're talking about. The father can make him a nazir, but the son or his relatives can be moicha at any time. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says now, Lema Hani Tanoi Ki Hani Tanoi. Should we say now that these Tanoim that we just discussed, Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Ben Yehuda, are having the same machlokas as earlier Tanoim from the following Braisa? And again, this is going to be one of those examples. This is going to be one of those rare examples where it actually stays that way. Where the Gemara is going to end up saying that yes, that is how it is, that Udiyo Tanoim argued on this, and now later Tanoim argued on the implications of it. That you could have, because during the time of the Tanoim, not necessarily the same way as among the Amiroim, not necessarily did all the Amiroim know what all the other Amiroyim had said until it was all assembled together in the Gemara. The same way, later Tanoim don't necessarily always know what earlier Tanoim were discussing among themselves, and therefore they could end up repeating. The Gemara is bothered by, in other words, when you have Amiroyim repeating a machlokas of Tanoim, because they should be expected to know that machlokas. But when you have between Tanoim, then sometimes it can happen that it stays that way.
I think somewhere in the bubble or somewhere in there.
No, almost all Tanoim were now in Israel, so now. Anyway.
The
Mishnah and the Braise. In general, the Gemara is going to say that not, but sometimes. Anyway, so the Tanya, we learn in a Braise, it happened with Reb Chanina that his father made him a Nazir, and he was over 13 years old. The question was whether he developed Tosfos learns. The question was whether he developed Shtei Sinus. The Hevia Lifnei Rabban Gamliel, so the father brought the son to brought Rab Chanina to Rabban Gamliel to check him. Vayu Rabban Gamliel Boidka laid him heavy Shtei Cyrus and Lahavi. And Rabban Gamliel was going to physically examine him to see whether he developed Shtei Cyrus. And if he had developed Shtei Cyrus, then we would say the father is Nazirus, has no consequence. And if he hadn't yet developed Shtei Cyrus, then the father still has the ability to make him a Nazir.
We don't look at the certain.
So we don't, because it's, even if he's 13, if he doesn't have, this is a Din D'Oraisa we're talking about over here on the face of it. So if with dinim d'araisa, again, we don't use, with dinim d'rabbanon, we can use chazaka d'rova, as the Gemara calls it elsewhere. But here it's a din d'araisa, we can't use that. We have to actually physically check, just like by chalitza.
And why is the right?
Because we're talking about nizirus, which is a din d'araisa, and because there's going to be carbonus involved and so forth.
Right, and when he was a cut, it wasn't
d'araisa? No, that's the point. If we're saying that the father has the ability to make his son a nazir, if we say that is halacha l'moshe b'Sinai, then it means, in other words, that it expires. When he develops Shtei Cyrus. Think of it. If I say about, if a father says about his son, he's already a grown man, he says, you're a Nazir, nothing happens, right? So the question is, now, was he still in the age when the father could say that and it would stick? On the other hand, so that's one version, Rabbi Yossi Omer, but Rabbi Yossi says, no, it wasn't to know if he had Shtei Cyrus. Leidei Migia La'onas Nadorim Imlab, Rabbi Gamliel was going to examine him verbally to find out whether he reached Onas Nadorim. Rabbi Gamliel is going to ask him, do you know what a neder is? Do you know that a neder is addressed to Hashem or not? So in other words, it comes out so far that they seem to be arguing on the same machlokas as Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Huda. According to Rebbe had said the deadline is Shtei Cyrus, so that's the Tanakama of the Braisa is saying that Rabbi Gamliel was going to check whether he had Shtei Cyrus. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda had said until he's Oinas Nadarim and until he's Muflas Samachlish, which is 12, and that's what Rabbi Yossi is saying in our Braisa. Anyway, continues the story. Omaloi, but Rabbi Chanina was all of 13 years old now, or 12 years old now, was saying, he says, Rebbe, altit style about Cain. Don't go to the trouble of checking. Because either way, if I'm still considered a cotton, then fine, I'll be a Nazir because my father said so. And if I'm actually considered an adult, if I already have Shtei Cyrus, or if I'm already an Ernest Dorim, then I'll be a Nazir on my own because I myself am willing to accept Nazirus on myself. So either way, he's telling this 12 or 13 year old boy is telling him Gamliel, he knows his stuff, right? So Omer Rav Gamliel in a shocker al roshay. Rav Gamliel got up and kissed him on his head. Omer, and he says, "Move to Chani b'zeh shemoyra halacha b'Israel. I am certain about this boy that eventually he will be teaching halachas among the Jewish people because he sees already that Rav Chanina already at such a young age is so smart and so sharp and such a yorei shemayim that he's saying that regardless, I'm not gonna be in a situation of suffic nezirus. Either way, I'm willing to accept it on myself. And sure enough, what Omru? So they said, Lohayu yomim watim. Not very long past." Until the Rav Chanina was taka teaching halachas to the Jewish people. And in fact, there's a braisa in Tesefta of Nida that quotes the story and says that, in fact, one of the Chachamim, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Tzadik, says, not long after that, I saw him sitting in the yeshiva in Yavne and teaching over there.
Now he became someone great because someone passed away? He
himself was a great person. Yeah. Anyway, so the point is, so let's figure out, So the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi and this Braisa are having the exact same machlokas as Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda in the previous Braisa, whether the deadline is Shtei Cyrus or whether the deadline is Onas Nadari. Mufla Samuchlish, according to the Tanakama of the Braisa, is saying the same as Rebbe, Shtei Cyrus. Therefore, he's saying Rabbi Gamliel was going to check the young Rabbi Chanina out. Does he actually have Shtei Cyrus? According to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, the deadline is muflas samachleish, and Rabbi Yosef says the same thing in the second braisa, and therefore Rabbi Gamliel was going to examine him verbally and see whether he knows what a neder is.
Oh, so depending on who, according to who,
if
it is verbally a checking or checking
or checking physically, right? Okay, now the Gemara asks, here's a problem though. So let's analyze what Rav Chanina said. Rav Chanina had said that one way or the other, I'm going to be a Nazi. So Bishlema le Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda. So I understand according to Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda, or actually Hagoros Habach takes out the words Rav Yehuda, because we're talking about Rav Yosi of the last Braisa. Anyway, we understand his version that the deadline is Onas Nedarim. He says that the father can make the son a Nazir only until Onas Nedarim. That's what, therefore, we can understand. Rav Chanina, the son, is saying, Im katan ani eye b'shvil abba. He says, if I'm considered a katan as far as the dinim of Nedarim, if I still don't know what a Neder is, then I'll be a Nazir only because my father said so. And then otherwise, I'll make a Nazirus of my own. Ella the Rebbe to Omar Adshi Rabbi Shtei Cyrus, but according to Rebbe, that the deadline, the cutoff point is Shtei Cyrus. How can he say, if I'm a Godel, I'll be a Nazir on my own? After all, if he doesn't have Shtei Cyrus yet, then he's still in the Rishus of his father. And it would be his father who has the ability to make him a Nazir. So when Rebbe says that the father has the ability to make a son a Nazir, until he develops Shtei Cyrus, then it means that on the face of it, it means that only the father can do it and the son cannot do it, even though he's already in Onas Nedarim. Rebbe is saying still the son does not have that ability yet, only the father does. So what would Rabbi Chanina mean with the words that otherwise if I'm a Godel, I'll be a Nazir on my own? He's saying that if I'm a Godel, I'll be a Nazir on my own. How is he? He's still in the Rishus of his father because what does he mean? In other words, he's saying that if I've reached Onas Nedarim, the Gemara is assuming that if I've reached Onas Nedarim, then I'll accept Nezirus on my own. But at that point, he's still in his father's Rishus till he develops Shtei Cyrus. So Ella. So rather, we have to understand the Omer Ehei B'Shvil Abba Ehei B'Shvil Atzmi. So no, what Rebbe means is when Rav Chanina says I'll be on my own, or I'll be because of my father, or I'll be because of my own. What he means is, in other words, the point of the Gemara's question was, the Gemara assumed that either way, the question was not whether Rav Chanina had Shtei Cyrus. The question was that he's telling Rav Gamliel, Al Tistar Lebed Keni, he's saying, don't bother asking me whether I know what a neder is, because either way, one way or the other, my father imposed the Nezirus on me, or I'll accept it myself. Now we're answering that no, Rebbe actually means that the question was, does he have Shtei Cyrus or not? When he says, if I'm a cotton, he doesn't mean if I'm a cotton below the age, if I'm a cotton and I don't yet know what a neder is, versus if I'm a godline and know what a neder is. He means if I'm a cotton that I don't have yet Shtei Cyrus, or if I'm a godel and I have Shtei Cyrus, one way or the other, I'll be a nozzle. So one way or the other, he's saying that I'll be a Nazir. So good. In other words, he's saying that, again, the Gemara assumed that when he's saying, if I'm a Godel and if I'm not a Godel, means as far as mentality. And now he's saying that, no, I mean, as far as the physical thing of whether I have Shtei Cyrus or not. So, in fact, Tosfos says that maybe there's a possibility that even you're not Gerus in the Braisa, the words Im Godel. Because what do you mean? If I'm a godel, he knows whether he's a godel or not. But he means, in other words, that if I have Shtei Cyrus or not. But now the Gemara asks another question. The Eisi Shtei Cyrus Meikra. The problem is if he had Shtei Cyrus before his father ever made him a Nazir, then fine. Meikra Koim Nazirus Delay. So actually, Tosfos brings a different girsa over here. It's not that different really than what we have in the Gemara. Eisi Shtei Cyrus Meikra. If he had two Cyrus before the father made him a Nazir, then Meikra koyim minizirus delay. Then to begin with, if ishtay say shtei asayas meikra koyim minizirus delay. Then good, only the nizirus that he took on is going to be chal. And then 30 days are going to pass, and he'll bring this his karbonus. And all of a soif. And if on the other hand he only developed the shtei sirus afterwards, then koyim minizirus davua. Then we'll say that the nizirus is because of what his father made him a nozer. And again, he'll bring karbonus at the end of the nizirus, and that's that. So in other words, so there's no problem. But the icy b'mitzi, but what would happen if he developed the shtei sirus in the middle of the 30 days? So in other words, so Tosfos explains that what happened was on the same day that his father made him the Nazir is the same day that his father brought him to Rav Gamliel to examine him. So if they examined him and right away found Shtei Cyrus, then we would say that good. We would say it means that Rav Chanina is saying, fine, I'll take Nazirus on myself. Don't worry about my father's. And fine, then he has 30 days and then that's that. If they didn't check him that day, they checked him only at the end of 30 days, then we can assume that those 30 days were because of the Nazirus of his father. But what happens if he develops Simonim during the 30 days? How is he Yotze the Nazirus? As soon as the Shtei Cyrus comes, the Nazirus that his father put on him is bottled, and then how is he bringing Karbonus after 30 days? And Tosfos adds, you can't say that he's going to think, that Rav Chanina is going to think that, fine, even if I develop simonim, I'm still willing to continue the nazirus that my father put on me. But still, how can he bring a korban because of that? He didn't specifically say I'm taking on a new nazirus. He just said that if one way or if the other way.
Maybe he understood that. From 12 already dead.
No, but the fact is, the question is, how at the end of 30 days is he bringing the korbanos? How do we have enough of one or the other nazirus to, you have the father's nazirus expired once he developed Shtei Cyrus, and then if there's going to be a new nazirus, it's going to be a new nazirus, but then a new 30 days have to be counted.
Right, but if he understood when he was 12, so then he already could do it on his own.
The fact is he didn't, though. The fact is, when his father put the Nazirus on him, then the Nazirus starts because of that. In other words, again, according to Rebbe, that the father has the ability to do it until he develops Shtei Cyrus. Oh. We don't care about the fact that before that he was Muflas Somoflesh. Tosfos also adds, it's one thing in the Mishnah, when we had the original scenario of the father makes a son a Nazir, that you could ask the question, what happens if he develops Shtei Cyrus in the middle? So then you could say, okay, you're talking about that the son is below age enough that the entire Nazirus is easily going to be able to pass long before he's of the age to develop Shtei Cyrus. Again, if he develops Shtei Cyrus before age 13, then anyway, we ignore them. So let's say the father makes him a Nazir on his 12th birthday. 30 days Nazirus. By the time the Nazirus is over, is long before his 13th birthday anyhow, so there's no problem. But here, on the other hand, it seems that the scenario was his father made him a Nazir after he was 13. The question was just whether he developed Shtei Cyrus. He could develop them at any time. So therefore, the question is, what happens if it develops in the middle? Anyway, another way of Tosfos says, another way of explaining is that why does he's saying to Rav Gamliel, don't bother checking me. What do you mean? On the face of it, we still need to check to find out whether Shtei Cyrus have developed in the middle. So it would work out well enough according to Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, who says that you have until it reaches Onas Nedarim. And then, so therefore, so you would say, so now if he's in his 13th year, so now Tosfos explains, reaching Onas Nedarim is not going to cancel the Nazirus. According to Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, not only are we going to say the deadline is different, Onas Nedarim versus Shtei Cyrus, but also we're going to say if father made his son a Nazir before Onas Nedarim, and then he reached Onas Nedarim, that's not going to cancel the Nazirus. If he develops Shtei Cyrus, according to Rebbe, it will, but according to Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, Onas Nedarim is not going to cancel it. And then Tosfos also says, that you could be talking about again, that it was at the beginning of the 12th year when he's long before any age of Shtei Cyrus. So according to Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, it would work well enough. According to Rebbe, who says he needs Shtei Cyrus, then what are you going to say? How are you going to, then how is he going to bring Korbanos? And the answer is, you're right. According to Rebbe, the only way to fix it up, you would have to wait an extra 30 days. So you would have to wait. So there'd be the 30 days that his father put on him. Then there would have to be an additional 30 days that he's accepting on his own. And only at the end of those 60 days, only then can he bring the korbanos, because now, no matter how you look at it, you have 30 days before the simonim or after the simonim, and you have a complete nazirus, either before the simonim or after the simonim, and therefore you're good. So that's what Rabbi Chanina is saying. According to that, he's saying that I'm willing to take on, if necessary, an extra 30 days of nazirus, as long as this way we have a definite nazirus one way or the other, and that way, no matter what, I'm covered, and now when we bring the korbanos, then it's a valid thing to do.
But if you look at halfway through that he developed
so halfway through. So if he had just
from there he could start 30 days.
So then from pastures from there he could start 30 days, right?
What happens according to like we just learned now after the first 30 days doesn't bring any kabbalas?
So that's the thing. Yachal d'var, it just means he can't desecrate as a zero. It's fine. At most you would have Bal Ta'acha, but really Bal Ta'acha only kicks in only when Yom Tovim pass. So fine, you would have in this case though, because of the suffix, you have no choice. We're going to have examples later in the Masechta where a person has a suffix involving his Nazirus, where he has to delay his Korbanos a long time. Fine, that's what it is. In the case of a suffix, it's different. Okay. So let's start off the next Mishnah and the Gemara on it, because again, we're trying to get a little ahead of ourselves. The Mishnah says, Ho'ish megalayach al Nazirus avi. Here's another difference between a man and a woman as far as Nazirus. A man can shave and bring the Korbanos using the Nazirus of his father, which we touched on this the other day, meaning that if his father left money for Korbanos, then the son can use it. But a woman cannot.
Cannot what?
Cannot use the money that her father left for her own Korbanos. Ketzad, what is the scenario? Misha haya aviv nazir. Suppose a person's father was a nazir. V'hifrish mois stumim al nazir. So he set aside unspecified money for his naziros. So he didn't say this is going to be for the chatos, this for the oila, etc. He just said this pile of money is going to be for the korbanos of my naziros. Umes, and then he died. But omar, now the son says, harini nazir amunas shagaleach al mois abba. I will be a nazir on condition that I'm able to use the money that my father left for my korbanos. So then the din is he becomes a nazir and he's able to use that money for his korbanos. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says, no, in that case, in that kind of scenario, the money would go to Nadava. This is not the example. This is not the example of a son being able to be to bring the korbanos based on his father's money. What is the scenario where he? That's not the case where the halacha applies. What is the example where he could? Misha Yehuva Oviv Nazirin. If the other way around, if to begin with, while his father was alive, he and his father were both Nazirin. The hifresh of a mois stumim nazirusai, and his father designated mois stumim for his nazirus, who mess him, and he died. Zehu shemagaleach nazirus of it. That would be the case, says Rabbi Yossi, where he could, not where he's first taking on nazirus after his father died, but rather the other way around. Tosfos actually brings the girsa the other way around. The Tanakama is saying that if both of them were Nazirim, that's when he can use it. And Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, even Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda would be, Rabbi Yossi rather would be saying the other way around, that it's the other way around. When he's taking on Nazirus now, then he can use his father's money. So in other words, the opinions would be exactly flipped around. According to the gears that we have in front of us, the scenario was the father died, the son is inheriting this money. Now he says, you know what, given that this was Mois Stumim and it would have had to go to Nadava, instead of that, I may as well use them for Korbanos of Nazirus. Fine, I'm going to become a Nazir for that purpose and use that money for Korbanos of Nazirus. So the Tanakama would say that would work, and Rabbi Yossi would say it would not. On the other hand, according to the other gears, it's the other way around, that if both of them are Nazirim, then the Tanakhama says that you could use it because you were already Nazir from beforehand, and Rabbi Yossi says that no, only if the other way around, only if now you took on Nazirus, then now we're saying that now you can use that money towards that Nazirus. Okay, so the Gemara asked my timer. So what's the reason behind this din that the Mishnah says that this concept applies only to a man, not to a woman? That if a woman was in the same scenario, she inherited from her father and she wants to use the money for her korbanos of Nazirus, she can't. So again, Rabbi Yechanan says this is a halacha l'mosh misinai that applies to Nazirus. But the Gemara asks, Pshita, on the other hand, it's, and actually Tosfos explains, this is all part of Rabbi Yechanan's statement. Why do we need the halacha l'moshe misinai? Isn't it poshut? Only a son generally inherits from his father. A daughter does not. My lememra, why do we need to say it? Ben yodesh asavid bas loy. A son inherits from his father. A daughter doesn't. And the answer is loit sricha. The reason why it's needed, the chiddush is de les le elabas. What if the man has only daughters? So you would think the halacha l'moshe m'sinai is that the inheritors are able to use the money, and that means in this case she's inheriting. Kamash malon halacha. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan wants us to know that no, it's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai that says specifically a son. So even though in that kind of scenario a daughter can yarishin, but she cannot use the money for the korbanos of nezirus because that's a special halacha l'moshe m'sinai that this particular din applies only to a son inherited from his father, and not even if you have a case of a daughter inheriting from her father, still she can't use that money for this purpose.
Even if she did
nezirus together with her father or right after him or whatever. So we'll discuss tomorrow in the Gemara. Hashem, we said Rabbi Yossi is saying in the Mishnah, is he in fact arguing with the Chachamim, or is he not? And then we'll talk about various scenarios within that. Okay.